שלום, אנחנו לומדים מתוך הספר.
Hello, we are studying from test, Talmud Esra Sfirot, volume 1, part 4, we're on page 225 in Hebrew, chapter 3, item 3, the words of the Ari. You can send your questions to kab.tv, selected questions will be asked here. So again, test chapter page 225, we'll start with item 3 in the words of the Ari. The first Hishpashtut of Akudim illuminated to the receivers from above downward, and the levels that extended with their departure illuminated from below upward. It is known that when the Sfirot of Akudim came, their panim, their face, were turned downward, because the purpose of their coming was to shine downward. As a result, their panim, their face, were through the receivers. However, when they returned upward, they turned their panim upward to the emanator, and their achoraim, posterior, downward. Again, item 3, the words of the Ari. The first Itpashtut of Akudim, it is known that when the Sfirot of Akudim came, their panim, their face, were turned downward, because the purpose of their coming was to shine downward. As a result, their panim, their face, were through the receivers. However, when they returned upward, they turned their panim, face, upward to the emanator, and their achoraim, posterior, downward. Opnimi, item 5. Item 5. Opnimi. We studied item 4. So item 5. It has already been explained that Bchinat Bestowal is called Panim, face. It is therefore understood that Bchinat Histalkut, departure from Bestowal, is called Achoraim, posterior. It has also been explained that downward means the more course Bchina there. Their Achoraim downward mean that the lights depart and retire themselves from the Aviut, the coarseness, so that a greater departure, greater Histalkut, will be in the Bchina with a greater coarseness, Aviut. Again, item 5. It has already been explained that Bchinat Bestowal is called Panim, face. It is therefore understood that Bchinat Histalkut, the departure from Bestowal, is called Achoraim, posterior. It has also been explained that downward means the coarser Bchina, the coarser discernment there. Their Achoraim, downward, their posterior, downward means that the lights depart and retire themselves from the coarseness, so that a greater departure will be in the Bchina with a greater coarseness. Rav, please.
נמשיך לעוד דלת בדברי הארי.
We continue to item 4 in the words of the Ari. Keter illuminated to the Ne'etzelim, to the emanated beings, through its posterior as it rose to the emanator. When Keter rose to the Matzil, emanator, there is no doubt that the light of the emanator never stops for even a moment from the receiving emanated beings. The only difference is that at that time when Keter rose upward, that light that descends from the emanator comes down to the Sfira through its Achoraim, posterior. After all, he turned his panim, his face upward, and his Achoraim, posterior, to the emanated beings. And he is Dinim. The other Sfirot operate similarly as they return and ascend. Again, item 4. When Keter rose to the Ma'atzil, to the emanator, there is no doubt that the light of the emanator never stops for even a moment from the receiving emanated beings. The only difference is that at that time, when Keter rose upward, that light that descends from the Ma'atzil, from the emanator, comes down to the Sfira through its Achoraim, posterior. After all, he turned his panim, his face upward, and his Achoraim, posterior, to the emanated beings. And he is Dinim. The other Sfirot operate similarly as they return and ascend. Item 6, Opnimi, relates to the words of the Ari. The light of the emanator never stops. Item 6. This is a great rule in the wisdom. The upper light flows ever abundantly, incessantly and unchanging, as it says, I, the Lord, change not. As we have written at length, and before. Also during the histalkut, the departure, meaning during the purification of the screen, the departure was instantaneous and at once. However, because the histalkut necessarily ascends in the order of degrees in the four phases of coarseness, it is necessarily purified to b'china gimel first, b'china bet next, then b'china aleph, and then b'chinat keter. It is therefore considered that the light of the emanator that does not stop expanding to it and mating with it during its ascent and arriving from b'china to b'china, and generates a new level of 10 sefirot according to the measure of its coarseness. When it comes to b'china gimel, it generates the level of chokhmah. When it comes to b'china bet, it generates the level of bina, etc. Finally, it becomes completely purified and the upper light stops due to the absence of reflected light, or chazer, to clothe it. For there is no manifestation of the light without a kli, a vessel, and clothing. Again, opnimi, item 6. This is a great rule in the wisdom, that the upper light flows ever abundantly, incessantly, and unchanging. As it says, I, the Lord, change not. As we have written in length before. Also, during the histalkut, the departure, meaning during the purification of the screen, the histalkut, the departure, was instantaneous and at once. However, because the purification necessarily ascends in the order of degrees in the four phases of coarseness, it is necessarily purified to b'china gimel first, b'china bet next, then b'china aleph, and then b'china keter. It is therefore considered that the light of the emanator that does not stop expands to it and mates with it during its ascent and arrival from b'china to b'china, and generating a new level of 10 sefirot according to the measure of its coarseness. When it comes to b'china gimel, it generates the level of chokhmah. When it comes to b'china bet, it generates the level of bina, etc. Finally, it becomes completely purified and the upper light stops due to the absence of reflected light to clothe it, for there is no manifestation of light without a vessel and a clothing.
If you have any questions, please, but I think it's pretty clear what's written here. Let's keep going.
Item 5 in the words of the Ari, the light of the panim, of the face, are rachamim, and achoraim, the posterior, are dinim, called reflected light, or chozer. It turns out that even during the ascent of the lights upward, they extend the descending light downward from the emanator to the lower ones, through them and in the middle of them. However, it then extends through their achoraim, posterior, and it is known that panim, face, is rachamim, and achoraim are dinim. The descending light is now called reflected light, since it descends when the upper lights return to rise to their shorish, to their root, and their emanator, and that is why this light is din. Again, it turns out that even during the ascent of the lights upward, they extend the descending light downward from the emanator to the lower ones, through them and in the middle of them. However, it then extends through their achoraim, posterior, and it is known that panim, face, is rachamim, and achoraim, posterior, are dinim, and the descending light is now called reflected light, since it descends when the upper lights return to rise to their root and emanator, and that is why this light is din. Item 7 in opening me. Can we ask questions, Rob?
יש שאלה, אפשר שאלה?
I have a question, can we ask?
Sorry, I was on mute, yeah.
If the light departs during the and it when it fills the vessels, why is it called dinim?
Because during the departure it's called dinim, the judgment. Rachamim, mercy, is when it expands in there, when the vessel accepts it. When the vessel can't stand it anymore and it departs, the vessel rejects it, it's still dinim, judgments. It's like the host and the guest. That even though the guest wants to be equivalent to the host, he still rejects the light. That's why it's judgment. The vessels are revealed that haven't been corrected yet, that there's still deficiencies and problems. That's why the lights have to depart and to reveal more deficiencies in the vessels in order to be corrected. It's all called judgments. Also, the reflected light itself is called judgment. It's reflected. You can say, but he sends the created being back to the creator. Right, but according to the action, according to its nature, from the created being working from his limited will to receive, that's called judgment.
But beyond calling it din, after all, it's new fulfillments and new discernments.
It's all correct, but right now we call that state itself that the vessel is in. We call it reflected light and din. That's how it is, because it's revealed through a deficiency of the created being. That's why it's called judgments. I think it's, we need to understand that there is no evil in it, that it's a judgment and deficiencies are revealed. As Bala Sulam writes, I'm happy by the evil that's being revealed. It's the wicked being revealed, but he's happy. There is no evil if we engage in corrections, so it's all for the best. More.
Itai, next question. Maybe it's in the same direction. What does it mean that the light descends through the achoran, the posterior of the upper one?
How should I say this simply? The light descending through the posterior of the upper one, he shows the upper one as much as he's the lower one, as much as he's lacking corrections. That the lower one receives the posterior of the upper one from this, meaning great judgments, but he can invert them into his own vessels and then be awarded with rachamim, with mercy.
So it's not the posterior of the upper one, it's the creation of posterior in the lower one?
It's the posterior of the upper one that he's showing him as much as he's still under limitations. Let's read.
We continue, item 7, opening me, relates to the words of the Ari, the light that descends from the emanator to the lower ones. Item 7. It means that the light descends from the emanator to the lower b'chinot that were generated in each and every sphira as the screen ascends and purifies. Every place where the screen of Malchut ascends becomes the lowest b'chinah. It means that it stops the light of the emanator and interrupts its expansion from her downward. Thus, the light of the emanator ends at that place, and the place where the screen comes to is called the lowest b'china. The Rav makes this precision to the lower one, through them, and by them. It tells us that the light extends from the emanator only by the lowest prinot and by means of the lowest prinot. meaning through the screen that raises reflected light as it ascends and gradually purifies. When it comes to Prina Gimel, which is Zer Anpin, Prina Gimel becomes the lowest Prina that strikes the upper light and detains it from expanding it downwards. Thus, the entire amount of the light suitable for accepting in it had been rejected and pushed back as reflected light, and it extends 10 sefirot on the level of Chochmah, and so on likewise. Thus, you find that the extension of the light always comes from the lowest prina that's been renewed, where the light that had not been received becomes reflected light.
Questions.
Hello, Rav. I wanted to ask about it. When there is a zivug, coupling in the pit of Rosh, the lights enter the partsuf, and then we also have this zivug in Tabo. What is that zivug in Tabo? That before there's reflected light, there's a zivug. What is that?
Let's say it's a collision. The zivug in the Rosh is a zivug for connection. The zivug in the Guf is for disconnection. That in the zivug of the Rosh, it's for receiving the lights. The zivug in the Tabu, it's not a zivug, it's called a bitush pnimim makif, the striking on the screen, that he has a connection with the light, but it's negative, and he wants to purify. That he sees that by the way he received, it brought him to a limitation, that he can't work anymore, but as much he received in order to bestow, more than that, he can't. So, there's reflected light and judgment, and the limited vessels are revealed, until it expands again, from the next Paltzuf. Also, by the raising of the Masach from Tabu, from the first time he's in there, in that negative Zivug, supposedly, then when he raises himself from Tabu and upward, so he's in a Zivug, but such that are only to check himself as much as he isn't ready to be a vessel to accept the light and to just let go of the state. The new vessels are revealed. New deficiencies.
Yeah, so new deficiencies appear. On the one hand, the departure happens all at once. I mean, there's no cause and effect in it. On the other hand, it sounds as if the created being has the possibility to recognize what he's made of.
It's always like that in spirituality. You have a decision in the Tabu to depart, to purify, but you can't do it at once. As Labash said, the landlord tells the guest, leave, and he leaves, but when he leaves, he goes into all kinds of rooms till he leaves the house. That's how it is.
And this is the way by which we discover all these qualities?
There's no bit in spirituality. The decision is on the entire Kli, but the Kli is included from the 4 degrees. That is why it's revealed, because it goes through these 4 degrees. If in the Tabu it decided it's departing, so it's going to do it all the way to the Peh. But on every degree, he reveals again, he discovers as much as his decision was deep, needed, as much as he's not connecting correctly with the upper light. Every time he reveals it upon his decision as much as he has more deficiencies in order to correct. He's discovering that because of all these additional vessels. Let's say the tagim and otiyot.
The lights that depart, if I understand, it's the light of Nekudot. It's the zivugim of the degrees of Nekudot that came out. What's the difference between the zivug of Bina, Avyut, Bet, between the degree of Tamim and the degree of Nekudot, meaning there's a screen, there's a zivug, the light expands. What's the difference in this expansion of the light?
We need to understand that also Tamim and Nekudot, it's not Tamim like flavors that I'm tasting something. It's as much as I am bestowing by receiving and enjoying what I'm receiving from the host. That's called Tamim. Nekudot, as much as I'm limited in bestowing to the host, even though what I've received, meaning it's an opposite tendency, but still it's all towards the host and bestowing to the host, the tamim and the nekudot. That's why the gap between the tamim and nekudot give us great discernments. As much as I could receive for the host, and as much as I just revealed that I can't receive, it's all towards bestowing to the host.
Can we ask another question?
Yes.
Rav,
good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to ask, how can we liken the state of the guest and the host to the state of the bitus, the striking between the surrounding light and the inner light? Because the more the host implores him, the guest acquiesces, agrees to. But in the bitush, in the striking, it's an opposite state.
You're right, but it's something we have to scrutinize. It's I can't scrutinize it right now. There's also an inner philosophy in what you're asking. Write down the question, we'll scrutinize it because we're getting close to the third part of the lesson. Please, let's go.
We'll go to the next part, and before that, let's sing a song.
Rise to a new degree, you and me, right here and now, we are holding you up. We shall do, and we shall hear, that's all we know, there's none else besides him, and we won't let go. Coming true, we are breaking through, we are holding you up, we're marching on.